Awesome. Welcome. If you don't know your extremes, your extremes. I want you to all take your Bibles out. I want you to say this simple prayer with me. Father, I have your word, and I believe it's true. I am what it says I am. I have everything it says I have, and I can do everything it says I can do. In Jesus' name, amen. Relax. Take a chill pill. Whatever you need to do, just chill. I struggled this week with this message, and it changed Saturday morning. That sounds like God, but it's okay. I did all the study. I did all that stuff, and God says, I don't want you to do that. Okay, what do you want to do? Title of this message is Where We've Been and Where We're Going. You know, the Jews have a real neat thing, and we see it through Scripture, but many of us don't recognize it. They repeat their history through the Scriptures to remind them so that they don't forget what was done for them and what God is going to do. They got it wrong 2,000 years ago, but that's okay. That's our benefit. As it said in Acts 13, you know, the Jews refused the gospel, so we're benefactors, and thank God for that. Today, I would like to take us on a short journey about our history to remind everyone where we've been and where we're going. Presently, we're in transition mode. We're transitioning from an old way that got us here, but we're transitioning to a way that will take us far further than I could ever take us. Early on, when we started out, we weren't experiencing too much resistance from the enemy. We weren't a threat to him. And that's okay. Because when you start off small, sometimes he doesn't recognize you. But today, we are what we are because we responded, Irene and I responded to a call on our lives. And all of us have responded to the call. Believe it or not, we're all here because we've heard his voice and we have responded to it. When the Lord called us, we were just a small band. We were one family, one believer. My family and Nolan. We are continuously growing. Some of our members are not here today, but through work or sickness or whatever, we are what we are. And we have to understand that where we are right now, we're not going to be there at the end of the year because all this is going to change. And God has said to us, increase. Increase. And when we had intercessory prayer Thursday, there was a declaration that God made about our increase. Now you may think it's trivial. You may think, well, I take it personal because I've been on this journey with Christ for 30 some years. And he has proven how faithful he is to me, to the people who are in this room now, and those who are coming into this room. He is proving how faithful he is in that. In Matthew 11, verse 12, it says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. I really didn't understand that scripture. I thought it was a rallying cry of Christ to all of us. Of course, now that I've matured a little bit more, I understand contextually what he was speaking about, because he was speaking about the hostility of his time and violent people who want to hinder the gospel, weren't receptive to the gospel. That's what he was talking about. And so, when we were small, we didn't see the resistance. You know, all of us would talk to people, whoever would give us their ear, whether they wanted to hear or not. You know, I'd just reach out and grab their ear, you know. Talk to them. Invite them. But it's kind of funny how things have occurred for your benefit and mine also. But it's really what God was doing in those early formative years was OJT, on-the-job training, for myself in ministry and for those who were assembling. Many don't know that we came out of a men's prayer group to form streams. None of those men are with us today. But Nolan has stayed with us. He was not part of that men's prayer. God had other things for him at the time. But Nolan has been faithful. And we have built deliberately. We have built with purpose, direction, strategy, with our strategy and all. But we understand that what we're entering in is these days. If you've looked at the TV sets, you can see all the snowflakes and cupcakes, and they just don't know how to deal with what's going on. And half the church doesn't even understand what's going on. This is a God thing that we're involved in. And so I deliberately want to chase after the Holy Spirit. I want what He wants. And sometimes I've been accused of being a little cautious, but there's a reason to my method. And if we have time afterwards, we can sit down to coffee at your house or across the table or whatever, and I can explain a little more of the history of it. Next scripture, please. It says, therefore you are witnesses against yourselves. That's not it. But you are witnesses. That's more like it. Then Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. Approximately 6 years ago, I had a mini stroke, of which there are still some residual effects. And only those who are near to me understand or even know that those things. You guys are here who don't really say, man, God has really done a work in Pastor's life. But God had shown me Pastor Mike. He had shown me other pastors who are still to come. At a time when I was afflicted. And we heard from Pastor Mike last week that he thought Gary was the shepherd. And of course, you know, I was trying to hide behind the trees. I wasn't right, but I was right enough for God to talk with another man of God who has similar desires to help. And we needed help because I was struck. But what I found in being struck wasn't that sheep scattered. They did not scatter. What they did was they actually came together. We've had people come from Delaware who would not drink the Kool-Aid, who was checking us out to see if we were cultish. I'm not talking about Irish or any of that. And I asked them one day, we were having dressed down Sunday, and I said to him, I said, well, what do you think about us? He says, oh, no. He says, you guys are the real deal. He says, that's why I'm hitching my wagon to you. You do and live by the scriptures. That was his assessment of us. That's who we are. We're supposed to live and do the scriptures and as best as we understand them. As I was rehabilitating myself, I was not in a condition to bring the word. And so what happened was individuals would take upon themselves. Is it all right if God uses me to speak? Oh, absolutely. You have to understand, we were nomadic. We started off in the Presbyterian church. Then God called us. We went to another teaching church. We got great teaching. Then he called us out of that. He called us to begin a ministry. We met at the Republican Club. We grew a little bit. We had a lot of young people who were desirous of God, but they weren't willing to lay down their lives. We went from there, piggybacked off a church, and then we became a house church because the situation was tenable. Our little guys were sweating up. We were in afternoon service. And my heart was like, what do we do? What, you know, I'm thinking about this generation for us. And in the meantime, we became a house church after that. We bought some recreational chairs, of which brought them here. And we just worship God. In my recovery, and the church had a cohesiveness. And what blew me out of the water was your commitment to Jesus Christ. Not to me, but to Jesus Christ. All of you have contributed to where we are today. But what got us here was not going to keep us. Trying to do things, and I talked with Pastor Mike, but I was more out than in when we were talking, but gave great advice. Great advice. I listened, and when I left, I would write it down, and so I wouldn't forget. You see, when two pastors get together, you know, there's no time. We just love hanging out and seeing what God's doing, and you guys are becoming effective in that, or affected by that. Because you like to hang out, you like to be with each other, and that what developed was a heart of love that, you know, Irene and I have for each other and our family and stuff, but you were developing a care for each other that I can't teach. You either have it or you don't, is what I can only assess to. I was recovering. And we have to understand the hunger that you displayed now is going to be unleashed. Because those who are still far away from God, you now have the opportunity to reach. I still have some residual effects from the stroke 6 years later. 3 years of those was just trying to get back in the pulpit. And in 3 years, some sort of cohesion. I could hear God. I could see where he wanted to take us. I just wasn't very clear about that. That's all our history. It changed when we bought this building. If you realize it or not. I only required one thing of you guys, and that was to write your favorite scripture on the metal study, of which you can't see it, but this place is sanctified for God's doing. And I said to you, we want to establish a beachhead. Well, we effectively have done that. We have established that. We've had angelic visitation during our intercessory prayer. And some of us have even seen them stationed outside the building. This is what we're entering into. We're going to enter into a new realm. Will I still lead you? Yeah. God hasn't said, okay, time out. Sit over here. But he's calling all of us. He's calling all of us, especially in this holiday, Resurrected Sunday, to invite our families and our friends. Our vision has always been for the unchurched and unsaved. And we have to understand that we have something that they don't have. We have Jesus Christ, whom they need. When Pastor Keith was in a couple of weeks ago, he said, we have all the ingredients. Even in the time that I was struggling, I was still putting together all the ingredients for us. All the ingredients for us to grow spiritually. And we're going to add another step to that. We're going to learn how to connect properly. Next scripture. We have to be of the sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. We've got to be like the sons of Issachar. We've got to know what God wants us to do and then do it. And of course, you know, there was chiefs, there were 200 and of all their brethren were at their command. We realize that other churches are going to be a part of this plan. This is God's plan, not our plan. We just get to participate with him. We are a healthy, growing church, and we have finally established our beachhead. Now, the warfare begins. And when we understand what's going on around us, not just complaining about, you know, this or that, but really seeing these areas as opportunities for us to infiltrate. I can remember when Nolan was working at Wawa. Man, it was like he was pulling anybody and everybody out of Wawa. I said, keep fishing, man. Keep fishing. I'll buy the coffee, but keep fishing. And he did. He kept fishing. And from that, some of you guys have come to us. Some of those who were part of another work have come to us because God has called. And they responded with, where should I go? We've had Delaware, we've had North Jersey, we've had people as far away, believe it or not, as Ohio, that God says to be here. Now we must understand, as I was saying last week, that the treasure, in understanding the times, that the treasure we're after is the human soul. God values the human soul more than anything, because that's what is developing right now. You know, when we read the scriptures of Romans 12:2, you know, we renew our minds. That's our soul, where our mind, will, and emotions is totally God's. He's regenerated our spirits so that we can commune with him. And that takes on a different dynamic than just our public worship, which Dr. Self is going to be elaborating a little more on. And in reference to Dr. Self, he says that God has given him a word for streams. A word for streams. I can't wait. He was going to tell me. I said, no, I want everyone to hear the same time. He said that he's going to activate. God has spoken to him to activate the prophetic. We want to hear what God is saying. Some of you, it may be a little bit scary to hear the voice of God, but that's okay. Let it become familiar to you. Let his voice resound to you and be bold to speak it to the church or to individuals or whatever. We need to know what God is saying to the church. Streams. In understanding that this beachhead is secure, and we've gone through all kinds of stuff. When we bought the building, we didn't know what resistance was. When we demoed this place had, what, 40 fireplaces in it? There was a lot in here. I mean, we could have turned the gas on and cooked hamburgers and hot dogs with everything that was going on. We ripped out all the smokestacks. We ripped out some of the ducking and stuff, and we threw all the tin outside, and people came, and they took our tin scrappers. They took the stacks. They took the tin. They took the cover off of our electric box. They stole the guts from our heater. I mean, we invited them in. So, and Sean and I came in that one night for Bible study and returned. It's chilly. It's like, what the heck? That's when we found out between Sunday service and they had taken the guts. Resist it. We're forgiving those people. They don't know what they're doing. But Satan doesn't want us to touch this community. Satan doesn't want us to reach people. He doesn't want Jesus to change them. And so he does things to try to discourage us, to sway us, to stop us. But we have not resisted unto death yet. But we need to dress for battle. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness and heavenly places. That's who we fight. That's who we battle with. Oh, thank you. Okay. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit, being watchful to this end and all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. At Streams, we're praying. We're praying for everybody. We're taking a whole armor. We're dressing. We're putting on the new man that we are created in Christ Jesus. Some of us don't realize we're new creations. Some of us don't understand that our spirit is supposed to rule and reign. When I talk about your new creation, there's nothing like you. Nothing in all creation like you. And when I say that you are a supernatural being, I believe it wholeheartedly. I'm a supernatural being. Empowered by Christ, Holy Spirit. Able to do what he did and greater things. Do you believe that? Because that's the truth. He tells us to go and make disciples of the nations. Is that what Jesus did? We see all over the scriptures that's what he did. He healed the sick, the lame. He destroyed the works of the devil to hinder people. He blessed those who needed a blessing. But he was about telling people, especially the religious, that he is salvation for man. And so here, what we've done a little bit is we have made sure people are saved. We have begun to disciple people. We have personal discipleships so that they can grow spiritually. And one of the things that we're going to do is have connect groups. We're going to connect. We're going to care for each other, even in a more personal way. We didn't do that too well because we were a small group and we cared. But we're really going to care for people. We're going to love them. We're going to see God do some amazing things. Because it's only by His power, His might, that these things happen. We're going to fulfill our part of the Great Commission. Hear me. I'm not mincing words. We are going to fulfill our part in the Great Commission. We're going to get people saved, commit themselves to Jesus Christ. We're going to help them by discipling them to grow spiritually. And we're going to connect with them in that process. But most importantly, we're going to destroy the works of the devil. I like to see people like Robin, who's been here several weeks, get healed. Throw her helper cart away and walk out of here fully restored. I would like to see some of our people who are not here today, who struggle tremendously and ask me, why has God done this? And I try to tell them, God has not done this to you. God loves you. He wants to set you free. God is for you. He's not against you. He's not punishing you. He's taken care of that punishment on the cross. He's cleansed you from all unrighteousness by His blood. And yet they still don't believe. But that doesn't mean I don't still love them. I have to repeat this constantly until they finally, it clicks. And so will you. So will you. Christ is speaking here and he says, and I also say to you, you're Peter, you're Moore, you're Ken, you're Nolan, you're Gomez, my name. Gary, faithful warrior. And on this rock I will build my church. It's his church. As we go out, he is building his church. Do you realize you can't be defeated? You realize that? You are invincible. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. That's a promise from God. No weapon formed against you. A weapon is something that is physical. Shall prosper. And I've told the story many times, and I'll say it one more time. When I was working down in Salem, I talked to this guy, and he didn't like what I had to say because I was talking Jesus, and he put a gun to my head, and I saw the chamber with that shell go in there. And I'm saying in that instance, well, I guess this is the end of me. And the hammer came forward, and nothing happened. Well, obviously nothing happened. I'm here. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. If you're in Christ. If you're doing what he's telling you to do. And all he told us to do was go. Go in all the world. He will build his church. He has called us from darkness into his light. Aren't you excited about that? I'm excited. I may have this sour face. That's because of the cataract. I look in the mirror and, I'm a good looking person. My God says I am. Jesus got to be good looking. He's got to be. Nothing that he makes is junk. So, we're good people. Some say we're in the church age. But I say to you, we are the church. We are healthy. We are growing. We're going to bring them to streams. We're going to raise them up. And then we're going to send them back out. It's not a release catch type of thing. Catch them and release them. We'll catch them and let Jesus change them. That's his business. My business is I'm supposed to love them. I'm supposed to use wisdom. What we're doing behind the scenes before you, we are transitioning a lot of things. We've spent the last year transitioning our government. We have moved from a government that allowed us to do a little. We have moved to a government that will allow us to do much. What we are doing right now is looking at all our materials. We are refocusing our attention on these things in such a way that we can measure everybody's growth. And I expect everyone to go through. Whether you have gone through what we had before, it'll be quicker. It'll be faster. We'll be in ministry. Quicker, faster. We don't want to stop what God's doing. We want to work with him. And so, I've taken a word that Pastor Mike had given. He says, it's got to be quicker. We're looking at it. We're making things quicker. Not necessarily easier, but quicker. We are moving from the old ways to the new ways to bring people to Jesus Christ. We are victorious. There's nothing that can stop us. Nothing. You've got to get this into your heart. There's nothing that can stop you. Nothing. It will resist you, but can't stop you. Jesus said that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Gates is plural. There's more than one gate to hell. Okay? If the church, if streams will do the first gate, the easy gate, invite. Just, we'll take the low-hanging fruit first. We'll gather that in. That's the easy stuff. But other gates that we will kick in is working with the poor, working with local governments, any governments, other churches to help us bring the harvest in, which means some of us will be involved. You know, I've brought material about abortions and adoptions and stuff like that. You know, these people have an identity crisis that we need to tell them that your identity is secure in Jesus Christ. We need to teach them. Food banks, sicknesses, you know, wouldn't it be great that all the doctor offices would be closed in our area because everybody who comes in here is healed by the Lord? It would. I mean, these are the kind of things I think about, what Jesus wants to do. Yeah, Pastor Mike, we can laugh about it because it's going to be true one way or another. He'll put them out of business or use them other way. It depends on your faith. If your faith is strong, we can see this. If there are places for doctors and accountants and lawyers and all that stuff, we need to infiltrate and get involved. The work is vast. The work is great. And we know that some of the churches are doing certain things and they're getting tired. They're becoming despondent. They've lost their joy. We're going to have so much joy that our strength is going to be so strong that that joy that God's going to put in this place is going to go out in the highways and byways. That's what He's told me. We are a healthy, growing church that has a purpose. We're not here just to come on Sundays and just praise God. We should be practicing that 24/7. We come here to be an encouragement, to know that we can do this. We can invite people to come and hear about Jesus. We can do that. Let's do the things we can do before we take on heavier things. I know it. I know I may be a little long-winded, but you know, I've walked this course for 30 some years. And my health, God has proven to be faithful in restoring my health, and He's restoring me mentally in this. All the while, you guys have been the ones to keep this ministry going, not me. And I thank the Lord for you. I really do. I thank the Lord for your faithfulness, your commitment, your sacrifice, your time, your talents, your energies. I've never seen such enthusiasm when the day we started demoing this place. I mean, I literally was going to help, but I was just standing out of the way so I wouldn't get hit by anything that was falling off these walls. I wasn't going to bring that up. I was not going to bring. Yeah, okay. I'm guilty. I asked for workers and God laid you all off. What can I say? You worked here. And I thank you. The Lord thanks you. He is faithful. One thing we have to remember, God is faithful. He is always faithful. Wouldn't you say, Mike? And His heart is to bless us above what we could ever ask or imagine. You never thought, Mike. Oh, you little faith. God is so cool. He is so cool. He's not a taskmaster. He comes alongside and it's like our kids. He comes alongside and He lets us do things. And when we whine and bellyache about these things, He does them. And I'm sure that was not the easiest day to watch your puppy burn. He's got stuff for you to do, Mike. And He wants you to have the best transportation possible to do the work. So, We've got to get ready. We have to be on our mark. And we have to go wherever God sends us, whether it's to Guatemala or across the street to our neighbors. We're going to invite them. That's all we have to do. That's all I'm asking you to do right now is invite your friends, your neighbors, those who have a religious Jesus to come and meet the Jesus that sets us free. Amen? Amen. Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you that even in my struggle, because I was totally going to do something different, but you, God, have settled our hearts. You have encouraged us that we can do this thing. Put into their minds, O Lord, who it is that they should invite, and then have them follow up by giving the invitation. Father, we want to see your house full. We want to see you glorified. We want to transition to what you want to give us and make us to become. Father, have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.